Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, reading verse 14 and 15. "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother," or his mother-in-law, "laid, and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them." Heavenly Father, we praise you and magnify your wonderful name. Help us as we try to study your word. Give us understanding. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ all of the credit. And in his matchless and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you come on to my house tonight? We're close, what have you. I hadn't seen Mama in a while." And Jesus said, "Okay, we'll stay at your house then." And they walked in and they found out, I guess it's how it went, that his mother-in-law was there and she had some sort of fever or illness. I don't know what it was. But we see the compassion of Jesus. It says he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up out of bed and said, "Ooh, what we having for supper? Let's fix it." Ministered unto them. It shows his compassion. It shows his healing power. And I'm so grateful that he will do that for us. But the next couple of verses is probably my most favorite two verses in the whole Bible. Or certainly, let's say it's in the top 10 or 12 verses to me in all of Scripture. "When the even," or evening, "was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." And I taught on this last time. Just have a few more comments and then we'll move on. I'm grateful for healing. I'm so thankful that when I've been healed, and even more thankful perhaps when I pray for others, and every once in a while, God answers my prayer, and whoever I prayed for is healed. I'm very thankful for this. We talked about the rest of this passage, verse 16, that demon spirits were cast out. And again, I don't know a whole lot about demons. I really don't. But I will say this. Our focus should not be on demon spirits, but on Jesus Christ. We don't preach Satan crucified and risen again. It's Jesus Christ crucified and yea rather is risen again, Paul said. He determined not to know anything among us, or those that he talked to, which includes us today, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. There are those on TV, internet, books, and what have you, that focus on demon spirits, demonology, or so-called deliverance ministry. And again, I'm not an expert by any means about demons. But I know a bit about the Bible. And I know that from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the focus is on Jesus Christ. demons are mentioned. Maybe if you go into the Old Testament, you read about the Amorites or the Amalekites, which is a symbol of Satan and his work and what have you. These other tribes are mentioned, but the focus of the Old Testament, as we read the history, is on the Jews and not on the various tribes of Canaan and what have you. But too often there are those that call themselves ministers or preachers or prophets or what have you, that focus entirely too much on demon spirits. And again, they come up with all this theology, and they fill books and books and books with all this knowledge. I don't know where they get it, because they didn't get it from the Bible, about demon spirits. And honestly, it's wrong. Demons exist, there's no question. I talked about that last time. But instead, we ought to preach Jesus Christ and forget about all the demons. And if there's somebody demon-possessed and he happens to be delivered, fantastic, but then let's make a disciple out of him. But too often that's just not taught. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, Satan. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Focus on Christ, get saved, and live an abundant life. Flee fornication. Stop going to the bar. Stop sticking needles in your arms or snorting that stuff. Let's live for God, in other words. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, read your Bible. Get to know it. Get to know it so well that when somebody on TV says something wrong, you know it instantly. Learn to think on these things, Paul said. Learn to meditate on the Word of God. Think about it. Think about maybe how David slew Goliath. Think about maybe Jonah and how that relates to the end times, the second coming of the Lord. Think on these things. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It talks about sinners. It talks about the ungodly. It talks about the works of Satan. But it says, forget all that stuff. Let's live for God. Again, the focus should not be on demons or deliverance ministry or demonology. The focus should be on Christ. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. But moving on in verse 18, again of the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And we talked about this. They were in Naphtali. They went over into Manasseh. And later on, when they got onto the other side, you'll find at the end of this chapter, they met the demoniac and what have you. And again, I went over that last time, but I don't want to spend too much time. But I want to look at something here. Numbers chapter 32, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And we talked about, they said, hey, we know we're supposed to go on the other side of Jordan and fight the Girgashites or the Canaanites or whoever. That's our promised land. But we don't want to go. We want to stay on this side. We don't want the promise. And begrudgingly, Moses and the Lord said, okay, I guess, you know, you can stay on this side. And in Numbers chapter 34, verse 12 through 15, It gives the borders, draws the borders of these 2.5 tribes where they would stay on the wrong side of Jordan, outside of the promised land. You know, there's another promise that God gives us that Jesus specifically said was for the church. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "The former treaties I have made, O Theophilus," and this is Luke writing. He's talking about the gospel of Luke he had already given us. "O Theophilus, O lover of God, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them," in verse 4, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But," you know what I was talking about just a little bit ago, "ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." If you flip to the next chapter, Acts chapter 2, you see that the Spirit of God did come. They did receive that power. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they went about to do the Father's business. Just as it says here, in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. The power of the Spirit was promised. Jesus promised it, yet most denominations today reject it. You can say a lot about Pentecost. You can say a lot about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, it's to win the lost. It's power for service. We want to be about the Father's business. We want to carry out the Great Commission. Great. Fantastic. Let's do it. But let's tarry in Jerusalem. Let's wait for the promise of the Father. Just as the 12 tribes were promised the land of Canaan for an inheritance, the church was promised power to win the lost, power to live a godly life, power to overcome the devil, what have you. We shouldn't go around rejecting the promise that God gave. But notice, before I leave this passage, Jesus said, you're about to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the disciples, they weren't listening, they weren't paying attention, they didn't think it was any big deal at that time. And they said, yeah, but when is Israel going to be restored? I mean, you know, Rome's in charge and etc. When are we going to be back on top? When are we going to have a kingdom? I mean, you're the king. I guess you're going to sit on the throne of David, what have you. When is Israel going to be restored? And he said, it's not what I'm here to talk about today. And it's not really your business to know at this time. You go win the lost. You go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. The Father will restore Israel when he's good and ready. But if you put all this together, you understand that our time is short. We don't have much time left. I understand it's been 2,000 years about since Jesus said this. But the end is coming. Jesus is coming back. When? Don't know. But he is coming back. It's a certainty. You can bank on it. And you can also bank on the fact that Israel will be restored. They will be nation number one in the world when Jesus comes back. Now moving along, verse 19 through 22, again in Matthew chapter 8. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It was a bold claim the man made. Wherever you go, Lord, I'll follow. Now, he wasn't thinking about the cross, and a whole lot of other folks back then weren't thinking about the cross. But we understand that if we follow him, we're to take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him. And that denying of ourselves, I've got things I want to do. Got things I wanted to do my whole life. But God says, no, you can't continue in that sin. You have to deny yourself. Other goals perhaps I had in life, he says, no, I want you to preach the gospel. We have to deny ourselves. Again, a big boast the man made. Verse 21, And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father. I'll follow, but let me go take care of family business. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. He said in another place, You love your family, that's great, but you have to hate your family. Now he meant, Fine, love your family, but you need to love me more. And for context, he said you need to hate your own self, your own ways, your own desires. Deny yourself. But his answer, follow me. You can spend your whole life worrying about family. And family's important. And me, I wish I was closer to my family. I don't live in the same town. I wish I was close to my cousins. I wish I was close to mom and what have you. Wish I was back home, it's a familiar place, what have you. I'm not against family. God's not against family. But you see, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming, we must be about the Father's business. We must be concerned for souls. We can be so caught up with family, and hey, I'm a Cajun from South Louisiana, I love a good crawfish boil. I'm all about that. But since I became a Christian and he called me into the ministry, I've been concerned with souls. And that's his focus here. Now it's interesting that he leaves out something that Luke captures. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. Matthew leaves out the bid them farewell part. Verse 61 and 62 of Luke chapter 9. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. I'm willing to forsake my family, but let me go tell them goodbye. And I don't think that the Lord would have a problem with saying, Hey, mom, see you later. I'm going on the mission field for 6 months or whatever. But what the man implied was, I'm going to make a big deal about it. Yeah, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to get there one day, Lord, but let me, you know, go take care of my family first. But Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't have two masters. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And remember Lot's wife. She looked back at the world. And we know what happened to her. But verse 23 here in Matthew chapter 8. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came unto him and awoke him, and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Or, Jesus, wake up, man, we're about to drown. Don't you care? And Jesus said, Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith? What are you worried about? Don't you see me sleeping? If there was all this big danger, we're going to all die like you claim, don't you think I would have woken up? But it says he got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And all the raging of the storm stopped, and it was a great calm. But it says in verse 27, they were amazed, they marvel, it says, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Jesus had given commandment to go to the other side, and they were doing what Jesus commanded, going to the other side. And Jesus said, Great, you know, going to take us 45 minutes or 2 hours or however long it is to paddle to the other side. I'm going to get me a catnap. And then this storm came up. If you're going to do what God said, there's going to be opposition. All they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be opposition to the gospel. Ooh, I want to become a pastor. I want to try and win some people in my hometown to the Lord. Maybe do some street ministry. There's going to be opposition. A few people are going to love you, but most people are going to despise the fact that you want to upset their apple cart. Tell them that they're in sin. Tell them that they need to stop sinning and live right. Quit going to that bar on Saturday night, but come to church on Sunday. People don't want to hear what you have to say. There's going to be opposition to the gospel. There's going to be contrary circumstances. But contrary circumstances are the will of God. It's said that calm seas don't make good sailors. Oh, after he rebuked the wind and the waves, the sea was calm, it said. But smooth sailing, we'd all like that. If that's all a sailor ever knows, then when the storm does come up, he's not going to know what to do, and he may likely drown. But contrary circumstances, persecution, opposition, what have you, it's God's will, it's part and parcel with preaching the gospel, it helps us to learn to trust him, what have you. We can't forget that Jesus is asleep in the boat. If he's not worried, why are you? Now, maybe you're not in the ministry. Maybe you're just trying to live life and things are going south. The man's beating on the door, demanding the money. The phone won't stop ringing. They want their money. Or so-and-so's in the hospital. You don't know what you're going to do. There's a storm in your life. Jesus can calm your storms. Look to him. Trust him. Ask him. Call your pastor and y'all ask him together. Jesus can calm your storms. Put your trust in him. And one last comment here. When Jesus got up, it says he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Now, he was asleep. That shows that he was human. But when he stood up and told the wind and the waves to be calm, he demonstrated his deity. Remember, he's 100% man and 100% God. That's the incarnation. But if you're involved in ministry and opposition comes, or if you're just trying to live your life and the storm comes, he's God, and he can calm your storms. And really, the only problem you have is making sure that Jesus is in your boat. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.